This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Oh, we're back again. Another Chickies Friday on the WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz, we survived the downpour. Thank goodness. Here with you for another excellent radio program. Ike Reese, how you feeling, brother?
Brother Spike, it's Friday. I'm feeling pretty good. Arrived over here safely on my canoe with my life jacket on. So
is that a boat?
A canoe is a boat.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Not a ship.
Not a ship. It is a boat. Yep, okay. We're all on the same page with that one.
Good.
Made it across the Delaware River here. And so, yes, I'm here looking forward to a great show. Listen, a night without the Phillies, man, I tell you, doesn't feel good. For us guys.
Nothing to do.
You know, but we made it through. And they're back with a rivalry, I guess.
Yeah, rivalry.
Air quotes, rivalry weekend.
Yep.
Matchup against the Buccos. Jackie Baseball. Come on, man. Got one of your favorite guys coming up here in a minute. Come on, Mr. Leadoff. Stotter. Come on. Holla at your boy.
America's leadoff hitter, Somstead.
Yep.
Somstead.
Are we going to tell Stott that you didn't want him to hit leadoff?
Please don't. Again, all you try to do is ruin my legacy here. But I will say this.
Yep.
You know, I think for true rivalry weeks,
yep,
like this is,
yep,
I think we should lead the show with, like, who's your most hated pirate?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it'll be a long list of hated pirates. Yep.
Rick Rodin.
Get into that. All right.
Who am I going with?
Yeah. So, who's your most hated pirate?
I have no idea. Well, Barry Bonds was.
Nah, yes. That's a man.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, we hated him at the time. Yeah.
All right.
It is a big show. Bryson Stott joins us at 2:15. Talk about the Phils. Also, the fantastic auction. The Phils fantastic auction, which one of the opportunities is you can have a catch with Bryson Stott. We'll talk to Bryson about that. 3 o'clock, Elliot Shore Parks joins us. Tornado Shapiro's weekend forecast at 3:30. Looks like we got a little late, actually.
Yeah. He has a lot to break down this weekend.
Yep. Jerry Recco of the Boomer and Geo on WFAN, but also the play-by-play guy for Rutgers basketball, will join us at 4 to talk about Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. We'll award the belt and lots of other great stuff here on the show today. So yesterday, the schedule came out. Well, actually, Wednesday night schedule came out for the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're sort of in waiting mode now, right? We have everything. The offseason has essentially happened. We have the schedule. Now we just wait for training camp. Ike, with the schedule out, with the offseason finished, looking ahead to next season, what is, for the Eagles, for you, a successful season?
A successful season?
Yeah. What is a successful season for the Eagles in 2025?
Repeat champions?
That's it?
Yeah.
Nothing below?
That's simple enough? Well, yeah. I mean, what else do I want? I mean, I don't know. Success, failure, I guess we'll judge it in the end, but I don't know. I'm not sitting here saying I hope I can make it back to the NFC Championship game. I'm not sitting here saying I hope I can make it to the playoffs this year or we win the NFC East. I'm saying I'm trying to be back-to-back champions. I want to know what that feels like. Like, that's where I'm at with this team. Until until further notice, meaning that I have to adjust my thinking, as of right now, I don't see, haven't seen anything that'll make me adjust my thinking. Sure, we've lost a few players on defense. I totally get that. We may not be as good on that side early, but I have full faith in Coach Fangio as a coordinator and putting guys in the right place. And quite frankly, I'm excited about what the offense will have the opportunity to do this year, which is really, from an aerial standpoint, have a chance to be one of the better offenses in the league. So I'm not lowering the bar by any stretch of the imagination. I don't expect this to be a cakewalk through the season, but we are battle tested, and by the time we get to January, I think if we are still standing tall with the majority of our players, I feel good about us repeating as champions. Why not us? Kansas City was able to do it. Why can't we do it?
215-592-9494. What is a success for the Eagles in 2025? Everyone has to start lowering their expectations for this year. Because the Eagles have told you that they are. Like, I actually think you need to, not you, well, maybe you a little bit, but you being the collective, should just listen to what the team has told you. The team has told you the entire offseason that they are preparing for the following season. The team has told you with their moves in free agency, and then we were hit with that schedule. Like, the expectations for me, a successful season now that I've seen it, I wanted them to go for a Super Bowl. They're not going for a Super Bowl this year. They're certainly not going all out for a Super Bowl this year. I think they would be happy to be in it, and I think that there's a chance. But to me, a success for the Eagles is making the playoffs next year. If they're in the playoffs next year, I think this is a success. I don't think you can lose. They've lost five important contributors on defense and replaced them with bargain bin players and rookies. They have told you the entire time that they are preparing to pay people in 2026. Mm-hmm. They let a ton of contributors go. They spent their first round pick on a guy that might not even play for the first month or 2 months of the season. And then they got yesterday, what I see is the hardest schedule that I remember the Eagles having in the last 20 years. Like, just thinking about a schedule.
On paper,
for sure. That's all we have right now. And all we have is the Eagles, basically, on paper at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, on paper.
Well, we got the fact they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but we have as much information on the Eagles as we have with all the other teams at this point, I guess. And I look at that schedule for next year, and I see two total teams on it that I think will have losing records. Two. Mm-hmm. I see the Raiders and the Giants. Those are the only two teams. They face 11 teams. They have 11 games against teams that made the playoffs last year. They don't play consecutive home games the entire season. Mm-hmm. And I think next year is, they've told you it's a step back year. I think it is a year where you find out what young players can contribute. They sort of, like, they have a new offensive coordinator. I just think next year is a year where if they get in the playoffs and maybe they can make a little noise, I think that is a success. But I think looking for the Super Bowl next year, it would be nice, but it just doesn't seem to be setting up. It's not the expectation for me anymore.
Yeah,
it was the expectation 3 months ago for me, but not now.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It hasn't changed for me. I they're still the betting favorite.
Yep.
They are literally the betting favorite to repeat as champions. That lets you know, even with the players that they've lost, no one else in the NFL has done enough to enhance their roster to put them ahead of the Eagles right now. As hard as it is to repeat as a champion, that should knock you down a couple notches right there from a betting favorite, because it's more likely that you won't repeat as a champion than it is you will repeat as a champion, right? And then you think about the players that they lost, that should have knocked them down even more, but it didn't. It didn't. They're still the betting favorite. They're still the betting favorite. With all these other teams and everything they've done, this is still the betting favorite because they have the best roster in football. They have the best roster in football.
215-592-9494. What is success for the 2025 Eagles? Jack, you?
Still need a playoff win. Like, I've mostly given them a pass.
You said they were going 9-8 yesterday.
I still should make the playoffs should still win a playoff game.
Okay.
Yeah. The wild card team, huh?
Well, listen, maybe they're the team that no one wants to play in the playoffs.
Okay, all right. They could be that.
That's what everyone's saying early.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I just I think just winning a playoff game is fine. Like, I don't view this as a Super Bowl or bust kind of year. I mean, I know
it's not Super Bowl or bust,
but it's still like that's where the expectation is for a lot of people, which is fine. I'm ready to give them a big old fat pass for next year. They just won the Super Bowl. Like, I don't have this bloodthirst of like, we got to do it again. No. We got to do it again.
Are all the players given a pass?
Not the quarterback.
No. Okay.
But,
well, that's why I'm looking at both of you all. Both
What's
of
up?
You.
What's up? What's
and
the
I don't,
issue?
I don't buy this nonsense from either one of you.
What's that?
You're not going to be talking about it's a successful season if they just get in the playoffs. You're not going to say it's a successful season.
Well, okay. Let me just frame it.
Reframe that.
No.
Yeah. Spit it out.
Yeah. I do not approve of the way they have approached this offseason and approve of the way they're approaching next season. My expectations have changed. Now, my expectations after they won the Super Bowl were go win another one.
Yeah.
But that is not the way they've approached this offseason. So, like, I can't on one hand say I don't approve of letting all those players go, not replacing them, blah, 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 and say, okay, and also I think they should go win the Super Bowl. I just don't think they have the ammo for it. Do you know what I mean? Like I guess.
Oh, sure they do.
I don't think so. All right. Go ahead.
On the offensive side of the ball, they don't have the ammo to go back to the Super Bowl?
Well, they have this. You know, you're talking about an improved aerial attack, and they had the same exact players last year.
Yeah.
So
that's a good thing.
Well, and they didn't have that aerial attack.
How many coordinators or quarterbacks would die to be in this offense?
Plenty.
Well, so then that tells you that it's a very good offense.
It tells you they have the personnel to be a very good offense. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but
they were a very good offense last year.
They were a good offense last year.
Seventh best offense in the league.
Yeah, that's good.
It was good enough to win the Super Bowl.
Well, we can do that all day long.
Well, it was. Like, I don't need to have the number one offense in the league to win.
Right. But
you need the number one offense when you have a terrible defense. But that's when you need a top-tier offense is when you can't stop anybody. Like the Bengals, they need to score 30 points a game because they're giving up 35 a game.
I think we can agree the offense needs to be better next year and the aerial attack needs to be better next
year.
Sure. Right? We can agree on both those things.
But we also can agree that they weren't horrible last year. So the details do matter. Saying you can go from 7th to 5th or 4th is plausible. But saying you have to go from 25th as an offense to a top 10 without making any changes is difficult to do. So we have to be realistic about what we're asking of them. They weren't a terrible offense last year.
No, they were good.
And how much improvement do they? They don't need to be the number one offense in the league this year.
They should be top 3. I mean, they should be around 30 points a game. Essentially, you're asking them to add a field goal a game, 3 points. And that'll make a massive difference if the defense isn't what it was last year.
Sure.
You know? And that's going to have to happen we're all talking about using Saquon less, which means an aerial assault that's going to have to be better.
Yeah.
And we have a new offensive coordinator and an aerial assault that wasn't there last year. So if it happens, great. I'm just not expecting it. Like, I guess I would love for it to happen. I think it should happen. I think it could happen. I'm just not expecting it. Bryson Stott joins us in a few minutes to talk about the Phils and his spot in the fantastic auction. 215-592-9494. What is your expectation of the Eagles next year? Jeff in Orlando, you're on WIP. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I wanted to ask you, as far as looking at the season, isn't it really kind of a set of seasons? I mean, when people talk about how bad the passing attack was, it really was.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When they were 2-2, and then he was told not to, to throw the ball, and he handed off. But really, if you look at those last 5-6 games, including the playoffs, I mean, the aerial attack was there. There's a lot to build on there, and I don't think it's, you know, quite correct to say that they're just going to be average in the passing game with the weapons they have. I think they evolved, and I think on defense, yes, they lost a lot, but they had to develop a heck of a lot more players last year than they'd have to develop this year in order to be a top-5 defense.
They have to develop a cornerback, a safety, a linebacker, an edge, maybe even two edges, and a defensive tackle.
Two rookie, who knew about the guys that they had, outside
for
of Carter?
Sure.
Carter hadn't played a full season.
Jeff, I got to put you on hold because somebody more important is on the line. I wouldn't do that for just anyone.
That's right.
I wouldn't do that for just anyone. But we're joined by Phil's starting second baseman, Bryson Stott. Bryson, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, of course.
Let's ask Bryson first. Is it a Super Bowl or bust season for the Eagles, Bryson?
Yeah. What do you think, Bryson?
I'm not getting in trouble, so they'll be fine.
I'm glad he gave him the shot there, Ike. So Bryson, you've got an item this year in the Phyllis Fantastic Auction, raising money for Phillies charities. Somebody gets the opportunity to have a catch with you. They also get 6 field-level tickets. They also get a behind-the-scenes tour, watch batting practice. My question for you is, somebody bids, has a catch with you. Are you quietly judging their performance during the catch? Because I know I'd be nervous having a catch with a Major League Baseball player.
Not so judging their mechanics. It's more about me just making sure I don't drop the ball. since I am the professional baseball player, I figure it's probably best that I don't clank one that they throw and make them feel bad. So last year I had a little girl who played softball, and she wanted to pitch to me. So that was a fiasco in itself trying to catch a softball pitcher. So, no, it's fun. It's a fun time, and they have a blast just getting on the field and seeing everything from kind of our eyes. So,
You can bid at phillies.com/fantastic auction, fantastic spelled with a PH there. I hadn't thought about the pressure on you, making sure they feel good about it. You know, like you got to be, you're a good fielder. So, but there's a lot of pressure there.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah. At the plate this year, you've had a real good season. And a bounce back after last year. What has felt like the biggest difference for you at the plate this year compared to last year?
I think just more or less staying in the strike zone. I mean, it sounds like the easiest answer, but trying not to chase a lot and kind of understanding that those borderline pitches that I know I could hit that are actually balls, I don't have to swing at. I mean, the umpires might miss one or two here and there, but that's where I would kind of get into funks last year was swinging at the borderline pitch and not leaving it up to the umpire and just kind of cutting down my chase rate and kind of in a little bit of a funk here now. And that's the first thing I look at is what my chase rate is. And it's a little higher than I would like it to be and kind of hone that back in and get back on track.
That it seems like it was a focus for a lot of players on the team, the chase stuff coming into this year. Is it difficult to have that in your mind, but also remain as aggressive as you'd like to be? They seem like maybe different parts of your brain, but both important.
I think a lot of guys have kind of started paying a little more attention to that. I've never been one to chase at an alarming rate. I think I've always been above league average in the chase rates and things like that, but just kind of knowing the type of hitter I am and things like that, and my job is to get on base, so just to cut that down and go from there. And obviously you want to swing at the pitches that you know you can hit, but sometimes, like you said, you kind of get into a passive kind of approach and you take a pitch that you look back and you're like, man, I probably should have swung at that one. And there's a fine line of being aggressive and being too aggressive. And I just try to stay aggressive in the strike zone and take everything outside of it. So,
Bryson, you know, a couple weeks ago after the Mets series, and you get swept up there, and the team has really, I think, responded well to that. It's been about 2.5 weeks of really solid baseball. Was there kind of like an internal moment there where you guys got together and was like, we got to snap out of it now? Is there any kind of a team meeting or is just kind of going through the lulls of the season?
I mean, there was no team meeting. I think it was more of just, they ended our season last year. It was kind of, I don't want to say embarrassing series up there getting swept, but I think some of us kind of felt embarrassed by that. And just to kind of turn it on and be like, we got to play now. I don't care how there's 140 games left. It's time to go. Cause I mean, I've always believed you don't know which game's going to get you in the playoffs. It could be a win in May. It could be a win on the last game of the season, and you don't want to ever look back and say, well, I should have won this game in April or May, and if I just did that, I'd been in the playoffs. So I'm in the mindset of not throwing any game away, no matter the date. And you don't ever want to look back at a series and been like, well, if we just showed up for this one, we would have won the division, or we would have been the one wild card instead of the three, and things like that. So I think it just kind of was a wake-up call, no matter how early it was, and I think we're playing good ball now. So,
I'm always intrigued, Bryson, with the team aspect, the camaraderie aspect of you guys in the clubhouse, sort of supporting and rallying around each other during difficult times. You know, you went through a little bit of it last year. Casty went through a little bit of it last year. Boehm earlier this year. Bryce going through a little bit of it now. You guys seem to have the right words to support one another and rally around each other. Talk to us a little bit about that sort of support group and, I guess, the ability to encourage one another during these times that you guys as players sort of lean on.
Yeah. I mean, it's just having faith in one another. And, I mean, we know our lineup is good, and whatever they're going through is not going to last the whole season. And a bad 3 weeks, a bad month isn't your season. And just looking at Boehm, they would have thought the world was ending and things like that. And he has a good 3 weeks to a month now in a row, and he's back and seeing the ball well. And Bryce is a two-time MVP for a reason. And whatever he's going through now is not going to be his numbers at the end of the year. And I think we have all the confidence in each other. And just the next guy going to pick you up if you don't do it. And I think that kind of relieves some stress and pressure off our veterans, who maybe sometimes feel like the weight of the team is on their shoulders. But them knowing that if you don't get it done, the guy behind you is going to do it, and so on and so forth down the line. And I think that's just kind of a comfortability factor, and kind of just helps ease some of that tension that you might feel thinking you have to get a hit every time.
Yeah. Bryson Stott with us talking about the Phils. Bryson, you've got to hit a leadoff a lot this year. Have you liked doing it? And does you're a pretty patient hitter anyway. I see a lot of pitches anyway, but does your approach change at all hitting leadoff?
I like it. I like it a lot, actually. Did it in college and did it throughout the minor leagues, and a little bit here and there throughout my time here, and getting to do it on a more or so consistent basis, I would say. Obviously not against the lefties, but doing it against righties when I'm playing has been great. And I think that it is a little different. Like I'll take a couple more 2-0 pitches or 3-1 pitches if they're kind of not even close to the zone on the first couple, and just trying to let Trey and Bryce like to swing at the first pitch and see if I could tire them down and let them get the mistake that's the pitch that they want to do damage on. And I mean, I think a few times it has kind of worked, and just trying to be annoying to the opposing pitcher and let them know that it's not going to be an easy time through the order.
I like that, trying to be annoying. That's a good approach to have.
You certainly are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The two strikes, he seemed like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Like a real pain in the ass.
Bryce, you had I forget which national game it was, but they had you mic'd up during an inning. As a fan, I'm watching it thinking, leave him alone, leave him alone, leave him alone, let him play in the field. How, like, is that just distracting at all, having to talk to the broadcasters while you're in the field?
I don't think so. I think it kind of, like I said, gets blown out of proportion and things like that. I mean, they're not asking us the question as the pitch is coming. They do a pretty good job of kind of holding up their question. And if they don't hold up their question, I'll just stop talking and focus and try to catch the ball. But yeah, they're pretty good about, like, once the pitcher's kind of in his windup or in the stretch, once they come set, it's kind of mute and you can kind of focus on the game. And in between pitches is when it really gets, like, the conversation. So,
Bryson, one thing I'm curious about, because on the outside, people look at Rob Thompson and they say he's laid back, lets players kind of do what they want. And, you know, there's a question of his accountability, I guess. And I'm just curious from, like, your perspective, like, if you can shed any insight, like, what does Rob Thompson accountability in the clubhouse look like?
I mean, I think you get talked to. Obviously, if you mess up something that's you shouldn't mess up as a Major League Baseball player. And, yeah, they just let you know that you did XYZ wrong and you probably shouldn't do that, and if it's something really bad, I don't think you're in the lineup the next day. And but it's not the, I don't really know how to word it, it's never gonna air you out and make you feel like the dumbest person in the world. And he's very, like, on our side and has our back, and we all know that, and that's why everyone loves playing for him. And obviously, when we mess up, we want to hear about it, and he does a good job at that, and lets us go out and play, and tells us when we're right, tells us when we're wrong. And I think that's why you see a lot of people that love playing for him and would do anything for him and want to give their all every day out there for him.
Bryson, the season is very, very, very long, but every game, really, at the end of the day, you look back at the end of the season and the division could be decided by one game or two games. How do you approach, I guess, not overdoing the importance of every game, but also making every game important, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, my mindset is you don't know which game, like you said, is going to get you in the playoffs. You could make the playoffs by 20 games, 30 games, or you could sneak in there by one, and you could look back and say, remember that game we won in June that we probably shouldn't have won, like, that was the difference. Or remember that game in June where we lost and now we're the 3 seed in the wild card instead of the 1 seed, and things like that. So just trying to go out, and you're never trying to throw away a game, you always want to win them. And we know how competitive our division is, and the National League as a whole. So the games you're supposed to win, you need to go out and win. And the games you're down 5 or 6 runs, you want to keep fighting and never give up an out, because with our lineup, it's a couple swings away from being right back in it.
Bryson, I know your brother listens to WIP a lot. Hopefully he's not telling you what we're saying. He just, like, he leaves us out of it.
Yeah, he loves it. He thinks it's the funniest show in the world. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks, man. Well, we appreciate you, and the season's been a lot of fun so far, and we're hoping for the best for you this year. And once again, Bryson's fantastic auction item. You can have a catch with him. You get 6 field-level tickets, a behind-the-scenes tour of Citizens Bank Park. You watch batting practice, and you can bid at phillies.com/fantastic auction. Good luck the rest of the season. We thank you for your time today, Bryson.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, bro.
There he is, Bryson Stott.
You didn't want to give him crap for comfortability?
No. Yeah, I'll give you crap for comfortability.
Wow.
I'll give you crap.
Look how the tide turns.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a baseball guy's thing.
He doesn't get paid to talk. You do.
Well?
Yeah, he gets paid to play second base.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
That's a good job.
Yeah. He does a great job.
Good job.
By the way, you can also bid on the afternoon show experience for the Fantastic Auction, which gets you lunch for four at Chickies and Pete's. Hang out with us.
How about that?
Four tickets to Phil's Mets on June 20th.
Come on now.
And after listening to Stotter, feels like a revenge spot.
It does feel like a revenge spot. You get four customized City Connect jerseys and City Connect hats. You get an autographed ball of any player you want. And because it's the WIP afternoon show experience, you get to participate in the top 5 at 5, 5:30 Creed, and award the belt with us that day. It's very big.
Yes.
This is very big. This is very big. And we have to generate more money than the other show's items.
That's right.
We'll do whatever it takes. And a signed copy of Ring the Bell book.
And there he's.
Yay. Wow. It's a big item.
He's going to make me and Ike pay for it.
It's a big item. Someone's buying it. I'll put it on the company card.
That's right.
As Bryson just said, his brother thinks it's the funniest show in the world, and you're on it.
Yeah.
So bid at phillies.com/fantastic auction. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Baseball is back. You can watch all the action at Chickies and Pete's. Find a location near you at chickiesandpetes.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.